With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Small business sentiment dipped in October, and the cracks show up first in ag towns. National Federation of Independent Business, NFIB, Small Business Optimism Index, eased to 98.2, still a tick above its 52-year average, but at the same time, uncertainty fell sharply, a reminder that sentiment is cooling even as owners gain a bit more clarity. For rural America, where equipment dealers, feed suppliers, truckers, welders, farmers, ranchers, Main Street shops power the farm economy, the softer sales and thin margins tightening the screws on the services that producers rely on. Now, under the hood, labor quality topped the worry list. 32% reported unfilled openings. 27% named labor quality as their number one problem, the highest since 2021. Sales momentum weakened and profit trends deteriorated even as fewer firms raised prices and planned hikes eased. Capital outlays anemic. Borrowing slipping to 23%, average short-term loan rate hovering near 8.7%, and supply chain pressure continues to ease, but it's still affected 6 out of 10 firms. Now, the U.S. Cattlemen's Association says the latest congressional move to restore mandatory country of origin labeling, or MCOOL, for beef could strengthen trust at the meat case and value on the ranch. Clear origin labels, when paired with enforcement, they say give independent producers a way to differentiate U.S.-raised cattle and gives consumers straightforward information, a priority as price sensitivity concerns remain high. Harriet Hageman, a representative from Wyoming, has introduced the Country of Origin Labeling Enforcement Act, and Ryan Zinke from Montana has signed on in support. USCA leaders note the bill aligns with nearly two decades of the group's advocacy for transparent, accurate labels. The organization frames MCOOL as a producer and consumer win, restoring visibility to U.S. beef while reinforcing confidence in retail labeling. Now, if Congress advances an enforceable framework, along with packers and retailers, they need consistent segregation and verification, while producers could gain clear market signals for cattle born, raised, and harvested domestically. The organization says it will continue working with lawmakers and industry groups to advance the effort. EPA's 2022 decision to register Enlist One and Enlist Duo through 2029, well, it's now under direct legal attack. Environmental groups asking a federal court to revoke both labels entirely. Lawsuit argues EPA failed to meet the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act, and it requires pesticides to avoid unreasonable adverse effects on the environment. If the court sides with plaintiffs, both Enlist products widely used on 2,4-D resistant crops across 34 states could come off the market. It's Agriculture Today.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Agriculture Today.
Nearly 2 months ago, the House passed a continuing resolution that would have kept the government open and operating. This would have allowed Congress time to keep working on the FY 2026 appropriations process through regular order. But instead, Senate Democrats blocked its passage.
Chairman of the House Appropriations Committee is former chairman of the House Rules Committee from Oklahoma, Tom Cole.
The result of this political temper tantrum has been the longest government shutdown in the nation's history. For 42 days and counting, Democrats have held the country hostage. Make no mistake, all the pain, all the suffering, and all the difficulty Americans have endured in these past 6 weeks could have and should have been avoided. Instead, the hardship and damage caused by an intentional choice made by Democratic leadership. Minority leaders Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer led their caucus to shut down the government. And for 42 days, the American people have borne the brunt of that decision and have been mere pawns at partisan hands of the Democrats. At long last, reason has prevailed, and the measure before us will finally end this pointless shutdown. Today's bill will not only reopen the government, but it will also move the FY 2026 appropriations process forward, representing a return to regular order. This legislation includes three bipartisan, bicameral, full-year appropriations measures covering the military construction and veterans affairs, legislative branch, and agriculture, rural development, and food and drug administration divisions. These three bills have been negotiated between the two chambers and reflect a final, full, and bipartisan agreement. With passage of these three divisions, we will have full-year funding in place for many of our most crucial programs. Military construction needs will be met for a full year, as will medical programs for our nation's veterans. The legislative branch will be fully funded, including critical funding enhancements for the Capitol Police and for member security. The Department of Agriculture and Food and Drug Administration will also be fully funded, as will the WIC program to ensure that pregnant women and young children will get the food and nutrition they need to survive and to thrive. Importantly, the agreement encompasses community project funding in both the military construction and agriculture divisions, reflecting Congress's clear control over the power of the purse. Inclusion of these projects was a high priority for the Appropriations Committee, and it accomplishes this goal while holding the line on overall spending levels. We also break Senator Schumer's beloved end-of-the-year holiday omnibus habit. No more 1,000-page spending behemoths at midnight. Republicans have restored an open, line-by-line process. As we continue to make strong progress on full-year FY26 bills, we've included a continuing resolution to fund the remainder of the government through January 30th, 2026. This extension supports our ongoing work on this front, especially given the time lost during the Democratic shutdown. The simplest truth today is this. Reopening the government will put an end to the chaos Democratic leadership has inflicted on Americans. It will also ensure that SNAP funds are made available to ensure that no American goes hungry. It will reestablish control of the skies, keeping our nation's air traffic moving during the holiday season. It will pay federal workers and American military personnel, and it will ensure that the government can continue to provide critical services for our constituents like roads, parks, childcare, water projects, infrastructure improvements, scientific research, job training, and countless others.
It's Agriculture Today.
This land, there's no more perfect place on earth. It provides more than the crop you grow or the herd you tend. It gives you purpose. And to help young, beginning, and small farmers fulfill their purpose, Capital Farm Credit is here for you. Our decades of experience providing advice, products, and opportunities can help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
At Wiley Implement and Spray Center, we are here to keep your Case IH tractors, planters, sprayers, and other implements in tip-top shape this season. Whether you need in-shop or in-field service, Wiley has the factory-trained technicians to keep your equipment running with genuine Case IH parts. Give us a call today or go to WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Our topic this week is kind of a culmination of several things.
Dr. Mark Johnson is an Oklahoma State beef breeding specialist. He hosts a program called Cow-Calf Corner on the SunUp program.
But we know that only about 25 to 30% of Oklahoma cow-calf operations calve in the fall. We know that typically, if we've got some wheat pasture or cool season grass, that can be used to nutritionally supplement the cow herd, and it's great for creep grazing calves and getting optimum gains on them at a time through the winter when we wouldn't have a lot of warm season grass growing or available. So, what are we facing this year, fall of 2025? Dismal prospects for cool season pasture. We're fortunate today as we tape, we are getting rain. We've been getting rain for a few hours, and it looks like we'll continue to get rain for the next two or three days. The reality is we're pretty short of optimum growing days from this point forward until December. If we don't have a lot of cool season pasture on hand right now, it's probably going to be late winter and spring before we really begin to see that and capitalize on this moisture. So we address the prospect of creep feeding in a cow-calf operation. Historically, creep feeding in a commercial cow-calf operation is not a profitable practice. There's ample research that's been done, shows us that creep feeding is going to increase weaning weights by close to 60 pounds on average. The conversion rate of feed to gain is anywhere from 3 pounds of feed to 20 pounds of feed, so it's wild and all over the board. Typically what we see, and in studies here at OSU, the better the nutritional availability, whether it is the maternal influence and milk coming from the cow or grazable forage from those growing calves, the worse feed conversion we actually see if we're feeding creep. Now, in contrast to that, the poorer the nutritional situation is for the calves, the less milk from the cow, if they're trying to graze dormant native range, if pastures are overgrazed, and particularly when we look at fall calving cow herds and calves born in the fall, we see more efficiency in the conversion of creep feed into gain for calves. And so, while we talk about the historic nature of creep feeding not being profitable, in times when feed is inexpensive and calf prices are really valuable, are exceptions to that rule. Feed is relatively inexpensive right now. A 14 to 16% crude protein creep ration can probably be put together or purchased for somewhere between maybe under $400 a ton up to $450, maybe a little bit more. The value of a pound of weaned calf up to 600 pounds right now is in excess of $4 a pound. Even at a 20 to 1 conversion ratio, this pencils out with profit margin. And so, if you find yourself in a situation, your wheat pasture is not where it needs to be, you're a little short on nutrition for some fall-born calves that are getting to be about 2-3 months of age right now, potentially putting together a good quality nutrient-dense creep feed, something that's going to help those calves along, maybe until we get to that cool season grass later in the spring, could easily be cost-effective. As always, I encourage producers to take a look at this from an economic standpoint. You're running a business. Think of the inputs it's going to require relative to the value that those inputs create. But right now, if ever, creep feeding in a cow-calf operation. This pencils out.
You can learn more online at sunup.okstate.edu. It's Agriculture Today.
The 2025 Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show is coming December 2nd through 4th at the Amarillo Civic Center. See nearly 500 exhibitors featuring the latest tractors, technology, and equipment. Attend CEU sessions with agriculture experts, network with fellow producers, and find great deals on seeds, feed, and fencing. Don't miss it. Mark your calendars for the 2025 Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show, December 2nd through 4th at the Amarillo Civic Center.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton, to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
with Agriculture Today. Here's Tony St. James.
Yeah, you know, in the last couple of weeks, we've had a whole series of comments, statements, proposals, and so they've had a pretty big impact on cattle futures markets especially, but cash markets as well.
Oklahoma State livestock economist Dr. Darrell Peel on cattle markets.
You know, and it's been sort of a piling on. There were a variety of different things going on, but all of them had a negative impact and kind of combined to really create a fairly big pullback in cattle prices. Feeder cattle markets have taken the brunt of it, both futures and cash. Fed cattle markets, futures markets were impacted through some of this, but actually cash prices didn't change very much, and boxed beef markets really weren't impacted at all. So it just depended on which sector we were talking about. Markets are trying to recover. If it settles down a little bit, we don't get more headlines and more social media posts, markets will bounce back. The fundamentals of the market have not changed. And that's one of the things I keep reminding people is that, these are short-term shocks. Depending on exactly how they play out, the impacts probably won't be anywhere near like the initial reaction is. So the market fundamentals are still strong. Markets are already trying to recover. Probably take another week or two if they're relatively quiet, at least, and the markets will bounce back, substantially to where they were before.
So we go from cattle to China. Arlen Suderman is with StoneX.
There are still some significant tariffs on U.S. commodities. Now, we do have reports that China has made some purchases of U.S. soft red winter wheat. Some talked of around 400,000 metric tons of purchases. There are reasons why they might be interested in U.S. corn, U.S. grain sorghum, certainly U.S. pork. They still have not made clearance for importing U.S. beef. That's been a factor since last February, or I believe it is February, when expiration of our export facilities for beef were not renewed. That's still a problem. There's still a number of hindrances there that they could use to facilitate that trade. We'll see if they actually take action on that. And I think that summarizes well that this was not so much of a major blockbuster trade agreement as it was a de-escalation of tensions. Now the question is, will China abide by this agreement or will they not?
Now, he's been sounding the bell for quite some time that this relationship is definitely not fair.
The key question for me still remains the 12 million metric tons in calendar year 2025. The White House's understanding of that agreement is that is new business, 12 million metric tons, 441 million bushels, not previously on the books. I want to hear China say that they have the same understanding, because China purchased 5.9 million metric tons, almost half of that amount, earlier this year and took shipments on that in the previous marketing year. If they interpret it as being part of that 12, that has a much bigger implications than if it's 12 million metric tons of new business. If it's 12 million metric tons of new business, that helps us hit USDA's export target for the current marketing year. If it is not, then USDA is eventually going to have to cut that export target, and that could create some problems for the balance sheet and for the price outlook. So that's going to be key to get that kind of clarity from China as well.
That's Arlen Suderman with StoneX. This is Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This is Agriculture Today.
The shutdown stands firmly in the process of the president, who rather shut down the government rather than negotiate.
Former member of the House Ag Committee and ranking member of the House Appropriations Committee, Rosa DeLauro.
He first said it's a waste of time to meet with Leader Jeffries and Leader Schumer. The second thing he said, and he admonished his Republican colleagues and said, you need to jam the Republican continuing resolution down the throats of Democrats. I don't make it up. Those are his words. Anyway, I want to talk about why I oppose this bill. I oppose this bill because it does nothing to address the Republican health care crisis that will send costs skyrocketing for more than 20 million Americans in a matter of weeks. No, nothing has changed since yesterday's Senate vote. Healthcare costs are still poised to double or even triple for some folks practically overnight, worsening the cost of living crisis manufactured by President Trump. There is no restoration of premium subsidies, the tax credits. This bill is an empty promise, as is a promise for a vote in the Senate. And as the Speaker said, no guarantee of a vote on premium subsidies in the House. All across this country, families are struggling to navigate an affordability crisis that President Trump refuses to address. As a matter of fact, I think within the last 24 hours, he talked about affordability as a con job. Get out there. Talk to the people of this nation, Mr. President. Energy prices are up. Grocery prices are up. Housing costs are up. Everything is more expensive. And now on top of that, the Republicans plan to squeeze families even harder. The report today came out that talked about families in the U.S. living paycheck to paycheck. And you read, the president went to the Supreme Court to deprive kids of food. Unbelievable. And now wants to deny their parents health care. This is a point, I've heard it twice already this evening here, that whether or not the government was open or shut, there was $6 billion in a contingency fund passed by Democrats and Republicans for food stamps to be used in the event of occasion like this. It was the administration, President Trump, refused to let those monies flow to the people who need it the most. It was not a question of whether or not the government was open or not. And let's stop aligning the two of those efforts. In my district, a mother of two named Renee Shalice, she will see her annual premium costs go up by $24,000 next year. She got her letter. That's $2,000 more per month. On top of caring for her two children, she is primary caregiver for the children's father, a brain cancer survivor who is physically and mentally unable to work. She is working tirelessly to do the right thing by her family, but she's already stretched thin. She literally cannot afford this. I just read you a couple of headlines from the Connecticut Press, New Haven Register. How much more can we cut back? Connecticut families brace for soaring health insurance premiums. The Connecticut Public Mirror. For middle-income Connecticut residents, sticker shock looms with ACA health subsidy set to disappear. Channel 3, Connecticut. Richfield couple faces tripling health care costs as cancer survivor needs continued care. That is a reality. And Renee's story is not an outlier. This is going to make life significantly harder for people all across this country, in every state, and yes, in every district. There are some 24 million Americans who get their health insurance through the Affordable Care Act. The Republican plan puts us on a path to destroying the Affordable Care Act, which, quite frankly, they have been trying to do unsuccessfully for 15 years now.
It's Agriculture Today.
In today's tough farm economy, you need to make every dollar count. When choosing your cotton, consider West Texas varieties from Brownfield Seed and Delining. At only $125 a bag, these West Texas varieties are large seeded varieties that shoot out of the ground and have the yield potential that will have you smiling all the way to the gin. Think outside the box and boost your bottom line with cotton seed from Brownfield Seed and Delining. Call 806-637-6282 or visit brownfieldseed.com.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
And I've been struggling with what the right vote is because of what the Senate did.
Georgia Representative Austin Scott, a member of the House Ag Committee and the House Rules Committee, where on Tuesday night he called out the Senate for a measure that allows senators to sue if their phone records were to be subpoenaed without notification.
You can start at page 217 of the legislation where it says requiring Senate notification for disclosure of Senate data. And there's a lot of with respect to's and other things in the first pages. But when you get over to page 223, you'll see where they've created a private cause of action specifically for them. And this is on page 224. Any senator whose Senate data or the Senate data of whose Senate office has been acquired, subpoenaed, searched, accessed, or disclosed in violation of this section may bring a civil action against the United States if the violation was committed by an officer, employer, agent of the United States, or of any federal department of agent or agency. Relief. Senator prevails on a claim under the subsection, the court shall, not may, shall award for each instance of a violation of this section the greater of, not the lesser of, the greater of statutory damages of $500,000 or the amount of actual damages, reasonable attorney fees, cost of litigation. Now, there's other language in here, waiver of sovereign immunity, no qualified immunity, and there's other language in here, too, that indicates that each line would be an additional payment. And so most of us as members have a campaign phone, a campaign email, personal phone, personal email, and then a business phone and a business email. That's six violations the way they count. If they went for all of them, six. Minimum of $500,000 apiece. I don't think that Senate leadership shared with the leadership of the House what they were doing. Thing that I can't get past, though, this language did not go through any committee markup. This language was not shared with the House of Representatives prior to it being put in the bill. And I personally agree that it should be removed. The problem is, if we remove it, it has to go back to the Senate. And then you're right back to where you were 40 days ago, where all of a sudden you're trying to get a piece of legislation out of the Senate. I mean, I've struggled. I want you to know that, Mr. Cole. I want the American citizens. I've struggled with what the right course of action here is, because what they did is wrong. This should not be in this piece of legislation. And they can say it's about good governance all they want to. When they made it retroactive, then all of a sudden it was no longer about good governance. There's actually a list of people that know they will get paid as soon as this thing is signed. At least they've got the coupon where all they have to do is go file it at the courthouse and get paid. I haven't decided exactly what I'm going to do. My gut is, because of the way this place is so dysfunctional now, that the right thing to do is to get the government cut on as soon as possible and make sure that the American citizens are watching what those senators do and hold them to account for what they did. And at the same time, the House put legislation out that actually reverses what the Senate has done. They should vote on this in the light of day. If they think this is the right thing to do, then they should have a committee meeting and a straight up or down vote on it. Don't hold my people who work in my district at Robins Air Force Base paycheck any longer than it's already been held. And so I want you to know, Mr. Cole, you're our chair. I respect you tremendously, as much as I respect anybody in this House, and as much as, I mean, I can take everybody I ever met. I have tremendous respect for you. You're a man of integrity and honesty. And when you tell me you didn't know, I trust you. That would never pass if that was a standalone piece of legislation. And it is clearly authorizing an Appropriations Act.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This land, there's no more perfect place on earth. It provides more than the crop you grow or the herd you tend. It gives you purpose. And to help young, beginning, and small farmers fulfill their purpose, Capital Farm Credit is here for you. Our decades of experience providing advice, products, and opportunities can help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.